Welcome to Stories of the Cherokee. I'm your host, Sean Crow. Thanks for tuning in. On this week's program, we're going to talk to author Nadia Dean, who has a new book that was published last year. It's entitled A Demand of Blood, The Cherokee War of 1776. Nadia's research on this war was extensive, and if you're into the history of the Cherokee, then this book is a must-read for you. Her research took her to London and throughout the Southeast, and the information that she shares in her writing will give you an insight to a history that we were not taught in school. The interview will be in two parts, and in part one, we will hear Nadia tell a little about herself and what compelled her to write such a book on the history of the Cherokee. Today on Stories of the Cherokee, we are privileged to have in our studio Nadia Dean, who just finished writing a book, I think it was last year, A Demand of Blood, The Cherokee War of 1776. Welcome to the program, Nadia.
Thank you, Sean.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was a journalist. I covered the Arab-Israeli conflict for a number of years in Jerusalem for a little while, in Beirut, and mainly in Washington, D.C. Worked for two Middle East broadcasting entities, reporting from the State Department. My first day was actually from the White House, and then they reassigned me to the State Department. But I became a little disenfranchised, or disillusioned, I should say, with news, thinking that I was giving the world the truth. When you go to a State Department briefing, you are hearing information that they want you to report. It's not necessarily what's really going on. And so my eyes were opened, and I moved on from there. And a few years later, while I had been doing genealogy research, I stumbled across one particular line of my genealogy that I hadn't researched, and somebody said, oh, you need to talk to Charles Miller. He knows all about the family history. So when I met him, he started talking about something called the Rutherford Campaign, and I was absolutely fascinated from the start.
General Rutherford, then? And the campaign against the Cherokee for several years and devastated many Cherokee Indian villages as they marched through South Carolina and North Carolina. What brought you into wanting to learn more about the Cherokee history other than that? You know, there had to be something out there that said, calling your name, Nadia, come tell us about the Cherokee.
Well, I'd actually been surrounded by Cherokees all my life. My mother was from Haywood County, and I spent my summers there as a child. We used to come over to Cherokee quite a bit. And my godmother is Cherokee. And I had cousins on my mother's side of the family who were part Cherokee as well. And so it seemed sort of a natural progression from journalism to move into writing a story about what happened not yesterday, but 230 years ago. And like I said, you know, when Charles told me the story, I was instantly intrigued. I thought, this is fascinating. Is there a book about it that I can read? He said, well, actually, no, there hasn't been anything published about it in several decades. And so over time, I had more conversations with him about it, and eventually he asked me to write the book. And I said, well, I don't have a master's degree in history. I don't think I can do that. He said, baloney, you know, you're a good writer, and you have a passion for the story, and you love history. And I thought at the time that he and another historian had actually done all the research, and they were just going to hand it to me and, here, make sense of it and write a book. They got me started with a few documents, including one that was a diary kept by someone in the militia. And that was the beginning. And the rest is history, as they say. 8 years later, it took me 8 years to do all the research, simply because there was no body of research that had been collected on it. So I had to go out and find all of the information, mainly from the British documents in London, as well as the Draper manuscript collection, which is in Wisconsin. And slowly I began to peel away at the history and unveil something that I thought was such an extraordinary story. And I couldn't believe that historians had glazed over this episode in American history. It was astonishing to me that no one had ever written anything about it.
Unfortunately, you know, a lot of that older history, especially dealing with the Native Americans, is glazed over. It's not put into the history books, the true stories. And it's good that you were able to go back and research that. And as you're trying to get into these archives to look at this manuscripts, how was that received?
Oh, for a non-PhD person to be digging around? Well, you know, I actually received some good encouragement from a number of historians that I reached out to, because I had to create a community for myself of academic advisors. And the ones that I reached out to, were all of them were very encouraging.
A lot of times when somebody starts to try to dig up the past, and especially things that they've tried to glaze over, as you say, or try to hide, you are steered in another direction, for lack of a better word. But as you're saying, you were accepted and you were encouraged to do this.
Yeah, I think maybe one reason for that is because no one ever knew the story. So no one knew, if there was an agenda to move me away from it, nobody even knew it existed to move me away from it. But, you know, again, I was just amazed that no one had told the story, and I feel very blessed to have been the one who got to tell it, because it is so extraordinary. And, you know, stories are what connect us to each other, and they have endured since the beginning of time because they are essential to the human experience.
When you were told the story, which interested you into doing the research for the book, what was the one thing as you started researching it that you found out that just blew you away?
Well, I think one of the things was that this was very clearly a war of attrition, and that there had been a series of wars of attrition against Native Americans. But the fact that this story took place during the American Revolution is what complicates it, but at the same time makes it much more interesting.
That's this week's show. I hope you enjoyed. Let me invite you to join me next time for part two of my interview with Nadia Dean, the author of A Demand of Blood, The Cherokee War of 1776. If you'd like to purchase a copy of Miss Dean's book, you can go to Amazon.com or ValleyRiverPress.com and get your copy. For all of us with stories of mountain folk and the stories of the Cherokee, this has been Sean Crow. Thanks for listening. Flute music was provided by Matthew Tunai.